Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 19. Hello everyone and welcome back to Season 19 of The Dark Paranormal. First and foremost, as usual, thank you for all of your correspondence regarding the season so far, and also the additional shows that we do put out. Some of you have floated the idea that one day we may attempt a full Dark Paranormal episode on YouTube and of course on audio, but I will say I think we're going to learn to walk before we can run. The mini-sode that happened to be on YouTube, or sorry, Dark Realms, that did take about 8 hours in total. And don't get me wrong, that time will go down, but we are complete noobs, as they say, at this video malarkey, so it may well happen, but don't hold your breath, please. But thank you for all of the feedback regarding it. We're quite happy with how it turned out, and we are looking to improve it going forward. We think we've sorted the audio for next time, so little improvements week on week. But of course, today we are here for episode 3 of The Dark Paranormal Season 19. And once again, we're confronted with a Ouija board situation. However, interestingly, similar to something we covered on our Patreon episode recently, this episode also posits the question, just how much influence does your state of mind, i.e. your mental well-being, have to do with the thickness of the veil between this world and the next? So is it always a case that if you're at your lowest ebb, it's easier to be targeted by some form of malevolence? We know we've all heard many stories where that seems to be the case, but one of our Patreons this week put forward a wonderful theory in terms of how it may be almost by proxy that your spiritual encounter takes place. So for example, if you are in a bullied situation, you are the bullied, and that's lowered your self-esteem, your morale, your entire mental state. And by proxy, you've been placed in a supernatural situation, no Ouija boards, nothing of the sort, but you are now haunted due to some other human being's evilness. And yes, this episode does once again look at that potential. But it also leads me nicely into a segue about our Patreon. That particular example, i.e. being bullied could lead to a supernatural event, is something I never considered once before in my life, which is why I love our Patreon. Week on week, I learn a new theory or a new idea which I'd never considered, and I consider myself someone who has read or seen most theories. But I'm surprised weekly by the wonderful people out there who are our Patreons and the community that they have. When you sign up to Patreon, not only do you receive everything that's on this main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, that's The Dark Paranormal, Dark Minisodes and Dark Realms, but you also can gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites, as a podcast in its own right, is 30 minutes at least each week. There's over 100 hours of episodes in the back catalogue for you to binge, none of which have been heard other than the one episode per season we put out before a new season. And it's a much more laid-back and casual approach at looking at some of the shorter experiences that we receive. Indeed, as I've mentioned, some of the best theories about the paranormal have come direct from our Dark Bites episodes. And I've mentioned time and time again about how wonderful the community is over there. I won't say it again. It simply is the best and safest paranormal community, I believe, anywhere online. In fact, most of our submissions end with thank you to all of the Patreons for making this the safe space that it is. And that's not hyperbole. Any of our thousands of Patreons will back that up. So if you sound like you want to be part of that team, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. J.R., Kelly, Karina Seymour, Liam Huddock, Andrea Brown, Lilu, Denise Goodnight, Raquel M., John A. Horniak, Flavia Freitas, Donna Marie, Martin, Rita Tomlins, John K., Amanda, Paula, Dave W., Ben P., Shelley, Agonista, Felix, and Ramona. Thank you so much, guys. Your support truly means the world, and it allows us to do things like try those video episodes, for example. So if you'd like to join our club, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we listen to It Hides in the Walls. Hi Kevin, my friend Lauren turned me onto your show about a year and a half ago, and I've been absolutely hooked since. She encouraged me to sit down and write out my own history of experiences in the house I grew up in, and now live in again. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this. I started having experiences in the house I grew up in from the age of 6 or 7. The title of the first memory is up for grabs, but I do remember 4 distinct occurrences that got progressively scarier, all before the age of 8. I had one of those pink Barbie camper vans, and at night would park it under the dresser in my room. Multiple times I woke in that morning to find it in the middle of the room. I remember telling my mum that Peter Pan was coming to visit me and play with my toys. Obviously, this was dismissed as make-believe. One night, I saw a little girl standing in my room, but she was sort of fuzzy and blurred. She had blonde pigtails and a pinafore dress, knee socks. I remember thinking it was odd, but not really being scared. More curious than anything else. My childhood bed was against the outer wall of the house, with a window at its foot. Another window was in the middle of the far wall, across from the foot of the bed. Seeing 2 children peeking in at this far window was definitely upsetting, even that young. Because, obviously, I could understand being on the second floor of the house made it impossible for anyone to be looking into my windows like that. It definitely made me uneasy. But the thing that struck real fear into my little heart was actually much, much more mundane. I watched as a screw from the blinds over the window at the foot of my bed slowly but surely wound itself out of the nearest corner, which caused the blinds to sway down from the bed. In what I can only describe as blind panic, my body went stiff and started bucking off the mattress. Eventually, I was able to scream, and my mum came up, blaming the old house, calming me down, and then she left. But I know I saw that screw itself out. Over the years, there were plenty of smaller things that happened. I heard my name called. I felt threatened completely out of the blue. Things disappeared where I'd left them. Shadow figures in the corner of my room. Hearing footsteps. Hearing muffled conversations. I'm an only child, so I told my parents everything that I felt was not exactly run-of-the-mill. Fortunately, or unfortunately, I was an artistic, creative kid. So my parents chalked it up to an overactive imagination and sent me on my little freak way. Because of all this, I naturally leaned towards occult topics and got into all sorts of issues at Catholic school. What with my books on witches and magic, ghost stories and demons, tarot cards and palmistry. I felt I had really experienced things that I couldn't explain. So I went searching for just plain old information, wherever I could find it. As a voracious reader, I had plenty of attention span for any oddity-based book I came across. My mum's friend Tammy, seeing this, got me a set of tarot cards for Christmas. The Catholic outrage when I was 11. They're still on my bedside table. We got our first computer when I was 9. Calm down, kids. Cell phones were barely even a thing yet. And it would be another 5 years till I got the Nokia brick phone you could literally run over with a Mack truck. But once I understood how much information I could actually get my grubby little hands on, I was hooked. Between my local library and the internet, Wicca, Satanism, spiritualism, mediums, seances, Ouija boards, runes, palm reading, amulets, incantations, I ended up being that kid. That kid who called the corners skyclad in her bedroom, with a pentagram on the floor, a stolen candle, a jar of salt, a kitchen knife, and I got grounded for lighting the candle. While my parents dismissed this as all fancy, my dad's two sisters started paying attention. Especially when they let me know that my great-grandmother, Stella, who I'm quite a bit like apparently, often told fortunes with cards, and eventually swore off them because she predicted her own friend's death. Couple that with literally every woman in the family descending from her having weird experiences, seeing shadow figures, hearing things they can't explain. Even my Aunt Patty being able to pick up the telephone before it rang. This is a landline I'm talking about, folks. I'm 35, so this was a while back. And on placing the phone to her ear, she knew who it was before they spoke. I directly experienced that with her, and to this day, we still occasionally call or text at the very same time. Bolstered by this, and starting to feel like maybe I wasn't crazy, I began seeking out experiences rather than just waiting for them to happen. So around 13 or 14, I started taking my tarot cards and spreading them out all over my bedroom floor, before I got into the shower at night. And then I would ask aloud for whoever was there to pick a card for me. I did it 3 times before I got too freaked out to keep trying. Every time, even though there are 72 cards across the floor scattered, I picked the Three of Swords, which means loneliness, heartbreak. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Bye. I was an angsty kid, no doubt. I was depressed a lot of the time. I self-harmed in multiple ways. I started smoking, started drinking. I ended up with an eating disorder and plenty of anxiety. I had plenty of friends, but being alone with issues like that, in a house ruled by a contentious marriage and substance-abusing parents, was super isolating and very difficult. I would talk aloud sometimes, trying to talk to whatever or whoever may be there. I didn't feel threatened in my room. I'd switched rooms by this time, the next door to the swinging blind room, but I did feel threatened elsewhere in the house. The basement, where I actually spent most of my time with my friends, was absolutely menacing when I was alone. There was always the distinct feeling that someone was stood directly behind you. And that sort of intuitive feeling that your neck is not being exposed. As in, it was, but somebody has moved so close, it no longer is. Coupled with a low, panicky flutter in your stomach. It was also amplified on the staircase, but only on the way up. As if something was making sure you got out of its space. My mum's bedroom also felt way off a lot of the time. A certain quality of quiet watchfulness, with possible malcontent. And then there was the TV room, where the couch faced not only the TV, but the dining room, often unused and always dark. Something about the doorway between these two rooms was simply unsettling, watchful. At 14, I was laying on the floor, staring at the ceiling, contemplating my existence, as one does as a 14-year-old, with a healthy dose of existential dread. We were wealthy enough that we had the coveted central air. The house was old enough that it didn't really support the system. By then, it was close to Thanksgiving, but there had been a water leak over the summer, and since the main unit was above my bedroom, all of the collected condensation had pooled into my ceiling and left a big, spidery watermark in the plaster. It had been there for months, and I hadn't really even looked at it twice. But as I lay there, it caught my attention. Tawny brown lines webbing out over 2 feet in diameter. Paint and plaster flecking off in places. Burst bubbles here and there. And then I saw it. Smack in the middle of the stain. Spelled out in capital letters connected in odd ways. E-M-I-L. Why? My name. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
My pulse quickened, my heart jumped into my throat, and I remember going very, very still, afraid even to breathe. Okay, so your name is on the ceiling. Okay, no big, just a watermark. Don't let your imagine, no, this is, that's clearly my name. After the years I spent reaching out to things in this house, Ouija, tarot, talking, was it now trying to get my attention back? We had cheap consumer digital cameras by then. The ones that didn't even zoom in, but were essentially a shutter. Black and white images. That's it. I took a photo. I wish I still had it, and I did have it somewhere. But one mishap leads to another, and maybe I lost it in photo bucket, I don't know. I called my Aunt Patty. I knew she'd believe me. And even better, we hosted Thanksgiving, so the whole Miller clan was showing up. My spooky aunts and kooky cousins. Perfect timing. I told my parents. Hell, I showed my parents. I finally had something to show them. I'm not nuts. Pops, look. They both acknowledged they saw the same. They confirmed it was there. And then explained it away. Oh, what a coincidence. That's so weird. Oh, wow, honey, what are the odds of that? Anticlimactic, to say the least. But then the family showed up, and they freaked out. My uncle's wife was about to run out of the house. She was so freaked out. My aunts were stunned. My cousins simultaneously thought it was cool and were very happy it hadn't happened in their rooms. It was incredibly validating, and as life goes, eventually my folks fixed the ceiling, and it remains blank and benign to this day. But I wasn't the only kid to have experiences in the house. Friends, over the years, would hear footsteps or feel watched. Plenty of friends did a Ouija board session with me and left freaked out that the planchette moved. There were a handful of uncomfortable sleepovers. If anything bad was going on in my friends' lives, it seemed like being over at our house overnight made everything feel insurmountably worse. People would leave in the middle of the night. Only a few times, but the uncontrollable anxiety they seemed to magically develop out of the blue felt weird. The older I got, things seemed to calm down. I heard less, I saw less, I felt less. I went away to college to Boston for a semester, and I came back because I hated it. I started going to community college and working in restaurants whilst I figured out what I wanted to do. Nothing really significant had happened since my bedroom ceiling. Hearing whispers and seeing shadows felt way less noteworthy after that event. The shadows I had seen when I was younger were always amorphous, kind of blob-like without any defining features. No heads or legs or anything like that. But at 19, I was super close to the mirror in my room, trying to pop a zit. I was well aware of the law saying you could see ghosts with a mirror pointed over your shoulder. And believe me, I tried a plenty when I was a kid, but came up with nothing. But this one night, maniacally focused on a whitehead that was ruining my life, the distinct shadowed profile of a male passed on the wall directly behind me. As if some boy walked between myself and the light under my mirror. I whipped around, but there was no sign of a goddamn thing. It felt significant because it wasn't long after I'd came back from Boston. Like a paranormal, "Hey girl, where have you been?" kind of situation. At this point, I should mention that my now husband was my good friend throughout high school. And we dated for some months after graduation. He got plenty of calls late at night with me huddled under a blanket, telling him I felt watched and I was freaked out and please just stay on the phone with me. He'd heard all of the stories, of course. He knew the water damage story, the knee socks girl, and the swinging blinds, and all of it. And he also thought it was my imagination. We dated on and off, and by 25 we were living together, about half an hour from my parents' home. Living so close, I was obviously at the house fairly often. I would check in on the house when they went away, collect mail, that sort of thing. Weird things rarely happened when I was there with them. But when I was alone in the house, things still occasionally kicked off. I spent a lot of time there sitting in the kitchen, which is open to the TV room, only separated by two short steps down into the den. I would sit at the kitchen counter and read most nights. The TV room still made me feel uneasy, so the couch was not going to be an option. I felt better facing the TV room, though, rather than have my back to that uncomfortableness. One such night, it sounded like all of the furniture in the TV room was being shifted slightly, back and forth. Like someone was behind each chair, the coffee table, the couch, the TV stand, essentially shimmying it all the way back and forth very rapidly. It was all wood-footed furniture on a wooden floor, and it's a distinct sort of whining sound. Nothing appeared to be moving, and it stopped after 30 or so seconds. It wasn't scary. It didn't feel threatening or anything like that. Though, please know, every hair stood on end. I wasn't sitting there hearing this and seeing nothing and being cool as a cucumber. But again, it had been a while since I'd been there, and it did feel like another, oh hey, moment. My parents had had experiences in the house that they refused to tell me about. But as far as I know, I'm the only one who gave any of this sincere attention. Another time, it sounded like someone tipped an entire glass of marbles onto my bedroom floor, which was above the TV room, the male shadow profile room, the Three of Swords room. Again, sitting at the kitchen counter, reading, alone in the house. And this loud scattering of hard things against hardwood floors, and just feeling confused and on alert. I went upstairs to look around, even though I knew damn well there was nothing up there that could possibly have fallen over and made that noise. Nothing was out of place, as expected. They went away for 10 days or so, so I checked as planned. I was in grad school at the time and the commute was much shorter from their house, so I decided to stay a day or two to save on gas and sanity. The first night I was there, I left the house to get some pizza and I left the back door open, which was standard procedure at that point because of faulty locks. I came home, heated up the pizza and sat down in the kitchen to watch Jeopardy and eat. The kitchen was right below the master bedroom, which had a bathroom in it next to a walk-in closet. The bathroom and closet reached the back of the house. I heard a thump from above, towards the back wall of the house. Immediately the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and this kind of overly clear vision kicked in. I was on high alert, and I lunged for the remote to mute the TV. Another thump, but this was more of a thump, like a heel toe, like a footstep. A footstep of a rather large man in rather heavy boots. Now, my mum had a jewellery box in the walk-in closet in the master bedroom, and there were enough family heirlooms in there for a thief to be pretty pleased with themselves if they came across it. Another footstep sounded from upstairs, near said closet, but then continued across the floor. There was no doubt in my mind that someone had come into this house through the unlocked door whilst I was out, and this man had made it halfway across the upstairs before I grabbed the phone, flew out the back door like the place was on fire. My heart was in my damn throat. How could I have been so dumb to leave the door open? Fuck the locks, I knew how to jimmy it back open. There's a big effing man in my parents' bedroom stealing their jewellery, and my scrawny arse is out here panicking on the front lawn in the pitch black. I didn't know what else to do, so I called 911. I told the dispatcher about the unlocked door and being gone, and now hearing a man walking upstairs. I told her I was outside, most of the lights in the house were off, and to please send someone. Please don't use sirens. I don't want them to run out the house and directly into me. Just please send someone now. Please understand that I have never, ever called the police. This was my one and only time. I don't spook easily, and I'm not big on authority. Well, the cops came. They went in the front door after I told them the bedroom was up the stairs. I watched their flashlights bob through the house, up the stairs, into the different rooms. I held my breath, waiting to hear the "Stop, police!" ring out in the dead of night. But one by one, the cops filtered out. "Miss, there's no one in this house." "Are you sure?" "I heard a guy clomping around." "Miss, it's empty." I know I turned beet red. I thanked them. They got into their cars. The station had sent two. And drove off. It took me some time, but I went back inside that house, and it seemed unnaturally still. It is from the 1930s. It is creaky and leaky and sighs in the breeze, but there wasn't a sound. Maybe I am nuts, but I pulled out the Ouija board. I dimmed the lights. I lit candles. I had done it by myself before, and I had gotten movement, so why not now? I slowly placed my fingers on the planchette. And all of a sudden, nothing. Whatever was walking around upstairs either was residual or had had its fun for the evening. Never in my life had I heard anything so unbelievably solid sounding. The previous footsteps, yeah, but they were light. More like an old heel would make. Not trudging work boots. Once the terror wore off, I was wavering between curious and irritated. I stayed the night. I stayed a few more. But nothing else happened. And nothing like that has happened since. It's been about 10 years between then and now. Sadly, my mother passed away 3 years ago. And my father isn't doing very well on his own. So my husband and I decided to move in and support him. Remember I said, my husband is the same boy I called cowering in the dark, feeling watched. The same boy who dismissed my stories as an overactive imagination. I had plenty kick back up once we were settled in. Footsteps, my name being called, that eerie feeling someone was stood behind you. All the norm, really. Welcome home, kid. The ghosts are still hanging around. I kept nudging my husband. You see anything yet? Have you heard anything? The basement, once my playroom and the scene of many a Ouija venture, we converted into a facsimile of our old living room. So our TV console, our books, the piano. I spend a lot of time down here in the evenings, usually when the rest of the house is off to nod. Unsurprisingly, I'm a night owl. About 3 months after we moved in, I was sitting down here with a true crime show on and a glass of wine, everyone else in bed. And after about 30 minutes of tuning in, my husband texts me from the second story. "Are you walking around up here?" Soon after, he saw a shadow figure enter one of the bedrooms. After that, it was the figure of a little boy, stood in that doorway between the TV room and the dining room. That always unsettled me. Tommy said he could make out old-timey shoes, short trousers, but not the kid's face. He knows the difference between the weird voices in the house and the voices that carry over from the neighbor's open kitchen window. He knows when the footsteps aren't my gait or my dance. Despite all the time I spend down here, I still can't ignore the very unwanted feeling, the one that creeps in if I stop what I'm doing and pay attention. I can't deny feeling a low rage follow me up the stairs, a dampening of the sound around me. I can't sit in the kitchen with my back to the TV room. I can't sit anywhere in this house, day or night, without other people around, or no devices on, or no appliances running, without feeling slight dread, a whisper of unease. It's still always the most active when I'm alone in the house. A few weeks ago, I happened to catch a night to myself, and I heard those lighter, less ominous footsteps for the first time in a long time. I'm too chicken to leave my cards out on the floor these days, too cautious to invite the attention. I'm pregnant, you see, and her name is going to be Stella. And while I'm sure she's going to inherit the family shine, there's no reason to tempt fate. Thank you for reading. Best, Emily from New York, USA. Thank you so much, Emily, for such a descriptive and amazing experience. I just wish we had that photograph of your name on the ceiling, because it sounds like one of those. If skeptics are saying that's a coincidence and you yourself know what you can see, I'd love to know what it looked like so we could all make up our own minds. But like yourself, I am also right now living back in the house I grew up in. And stories like yours, besides certain things that are going on, have made me second guess certain items I've brought into this house. Old Victorian antiques, which probably have more history and people attached to them than everything in this house put together. I'll just keep an eye out for the word Kevin on the ceiling one day. And if that does happen, I'll be sure to run away. But thank you so much, Emily, for sending in your experience. I do wonder if initially your fragile emotional state allowed contact to be made, and maybe if, when contact is made, it doesn't matter what emotional state you're in, there is a bond, there is a connection. Just an idea. But if anyone else is out there with their own paranormal experience they feel is suited for this show, yes, we have every experience for season 19, but as you know, I do like to mix things up. If the right experience comes in, email it over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And until next time, remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands, all on sale, every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.